This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
15 Democratic candidates for president, a Republican challenger to Donald Trump, and a possible independent in the race. Do you have an early favorite? Do you want Joe Biden to run? And if you're a Trump Republican, would you like him to face in the race for president anybody else? And if you're not crazy about Trump, do you want another Republican to challenge him? We'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about the pressing issue over the weekend that's been revealed with Ron Fauché, political analyst and president of the Claris Research Group. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Newell. Happy to be with you.
Ron, I don't know if we've had a weekend so chock full of news and speculation and this and that, maybe since Watergate that I can recall.
Well, it was an incredible weekend, and it's going to continue because this story is not over. It's unfolding, so we'll see where it goes. But it certainly was a good week for President Trump and for his political prospects for reelection.
Well, if nothing else, it seems as though the Democratic candidates have coalesced around the notion that they got to see the report. They can't take anything that the Attorney General William Barr says at face value. Without the underlying report, it doesn't mean anything.
That's their position, and they've signaled that would be their position for some time. And I guess everybody who has the report is still going through it, and maybe at some point they will release it. So we'll have to wait and see. But just asking for the whole report with nothing else is just not going to get them very far, I think.
How much longer do you think that they can ride this pony? I mean, it seems as though, obviously, a lot of them have had a one-dimensional dialogue for almost 2 years now. They were served up something that was they found very distasteful on Friday. Then the summary comes out on Sunday. It seems as though the Republicans outflank the Democrats in handling the news cycle on this issue in a huge way. And they were caught off guard. And a lot of folks didn't really know what to say. They immediately started speculating about maybe there were some sealed indictments and maybe they were this and maybe they were that. All of that was put to rest. And then they seem to struggle with where they were going with this. Oh, yeah, well, you know, they got that stuff in the Southern District over there. And it's like, oh, yeah, they got this over here. And Nadler's talking about, you know, bringing everybody under the sun before the Oversight Committee. I just didn't realize Congress had that much oversight. Obviously, they do.
Well, Congress certainly has the ability to investigate and to hold hearings. The problem is that if they investigate and hold hearings on things that people have been hearing about for 2 years and that Mueller has already cleared the president on, I just think politically it would hurt the Democrats. And this is something we talked about before. You know, I believe voters have you know, some strong feelings about Donald Trump, both pro and con. And I think there was a lot of concern about his dealings with Russia, and I think there are still concerns with that, if not from a criminal standpoint, from a policy standpoint. But I do think the Democrats make a mistake if they constantly are talking about investigations and not talking about issues that most voters are more interested in.
In talking about other issues, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is very upset that allegedly there's going to be a vote on the Green New Deal this weekend. And I thought when you introduce things, it means that you desire a vote. Am I kind of all wet on that? I mean, why would you
you're 100% right. That's true when you have real legislation in this particular case. It's more of an outline than it is real legislation. And what she doesn't like about it is the Republicans are using it to get the Democrats to take positions on extreme issues. And they really haven't worked out what this program is about. And because of that, having a vote on it at this point is going to complicate the politics of it for those people who are advocating it.
So I guess that's they have a word for that. It's called like strategy, right? When you think about
right,
what you're
right,
doing,
right.
that you develop a strategy right. around whatever
right.
you know policy initiative that you're going on, and you try to create and develop consensus more so. You know, not only within your party, but outside of your party, and that's all that goes into it. And now she's been blindsided by this evil word called strategy.
Well, you know, one of the things that we have been seeing happening in Congress in over the last 15, 20 years is what's called message legislation. And what that means is that somebody who introduces a bill or some resolution or some amendment, and it has really nothing to do with passing it. It's just so that they can put a press release out about it and say they're for it. And this whole Green New Deal, when you really look at it, is really a message piece of legislation. And that's not necessarily a criticism of it, but it is, you know, tactically what they're doing. And so the Republicans in the Senate are in effect calling their bluff. And they're saying, okay, well, if you guys are all for this, and if majority of Democratic voters are for this, as polls show, and all of these Democratic presidential candidates are for it, then let's put it on the floor and vote on it. And, of course, they're not ready for that.
That's that thing I call soundbite politicians. They talk about a
sure.
lot, and they deliver nothing.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we see more and more of that, particularly coming out of Congress. And you know, it's very easy to put out a press release and say you're for something, but it's something else to go piece the votes together and get it passed.
And that's typically the difference between an effective legislator and a non-effective legislator. Ron, when we come back, want to talk about the likelihood as to whether or not Joe Biden is getting in this race or not. Everyone is anxiously awaiting, and we'll get your thoughts on that when we return. This is Newell on WWL. We're still polling on the Blue Runner Gumbo Opinion Poll. Are you relieved that no U.S. citizen was found guilty of collusion despite Russia's attempts to do so? 85% of the respondents say yes, they are relieved that that was the finding. Joining us on the line is Ron Fauché, political analyst and president of the Claris Research Group. And Ron, there seems to be in most of the recent polling a lot of anxiousness, I guess, angst, anxiety, folks waiting for the announcement of Joe Biden. A lot of speculation as to why the delay from fundraising to maybe rolling out with a VP nominee standing by his side already. What are your thoughts?
Well, he is the center of attention right now on the Democratic side because he's running first in all the polls of Democrats for the nomination. And perhaps more importantly for Democrats, he is doing the best against Donald Trump in the polls. Biden is consistently beating Trump. We had a new poll out today showed Biden beating Trump by 7 points, and the other candidates weren't doing nearly as well against Trump as Biden did. So he, you know, he's the Bigfoot in the race right now, and people are waiting to see what happens. Democrats like Joe Biden. One of the two big questions is, you know, is he far enough left to keep the left activist in the Democratic Party happy? And the other problem, of course, is age. You know, he'll be 77 years old along the way in the campaign trail. I believe he's 76 now. And so every mistake he makes as a candidate, and every candidate's make mistakes, will be viewed as, you know, everybody will be asking, well, is this an age problem? Is this an age issue? But I do think that people who are very close to Biden tell me that they think he will run, although they also tell me that he hasn't made a decision yet. So we'll have to see. I think this is, you know, for Biden, given his age, his experience, the fact that he's been vice president, run for president before, I think it's as personal as it is political for him. So we can analyze the politics, but we can't always analyze the personal, because we really don't know what's in his head and what his family situation is.
It seems as though there may be a little backdoor dealing going on right now amongst the Democrats. There's been a story that has been revealed about his son and some of his connections to, I think, Chinese companies, and getting placed on a board and getting, I don't know, several millions of dollars and so forth. How long do you think that he can wait before he makes that decision?
Well, because he's the front runner, he has the luxury of being able to wait longer than anybody. But I do think it's getting to a point where he's going to need to do something, probably in the next 30 days. And you raised the point before about picking a vice presidential candidate early and running with that person, presumably somebody who is considerably younger than he is and is perhaps a woman or an African-American or Hispanic. And you know, that's all possible, too. The problem when you pick a vice presidential candidate early, as some people have found, is that you have to carry not only your negatives, but their negatives. And if you pick somebody who isn't seen as being clearly capable of being president, that's one problem. And the other problem is, you know, everybody has made mistakes in their lives and have done things that are controversial within a political context. So if something comes out about that candidate, you know, there's going to be a crisis in the campaign and a big issue about whether that candidate withdraws or not. So those are all the risks of picking a vice president early.
The other day, John Hickenlooper was asked about whether or not he would pick a woman as his running mate. He gave a kind of an unusual answer. As you know, would you ask a woman the same question if they were going to pick a male?
Well, you know, that Hickenlooper, who was a former governor of Colorado and the former mayor of Denver, kind of has his own style there. But I think he was trying to be funny. Because everybody keeps asking all the male candidates on the Democratic side whether they would pick a woman. And I think he was trying to turn the tables to get some attention. Well, he might have gotten some attention. I don't know how much it helped him, but at least he has us quoting him.
Well, I asked that question, you know, in light of the fact that the speculation is that Biden it's been rumored that he's thinking about Stacey Abrams. And obviously she's very aspirational in her speeches and what she talks about. And it would bring a lot of youth to the ticket and a lot of energy. And I don't know what negatives that she has. She hasn't been in public life that long, but it would be an interesting matchup.
Well, it would be. You know, the thing we don't know about Stacey Abrams, at least I don't know it. I mean, some people, I guess, in Georgia may, would be what her negatives are as a national candidate. And you know, will anything come out about her that would be embarrassing? And the other question is, you know, can she meet the experience test? And, of course, people say, well, since Donald Trump, who had no government experience, was elected president, then anybody can meet the experience test now. I don't necessarily know that to be true, but we'll have to see. When people have not been tested in a major government office and they haven't run for a major office at the national level, it's hard to say how they would fare. She ran up very strong race for governor of Georgia, and that is certainly to her benefit, but she didn't win the race. And, of course, many of her supporters say she didn't win it because there was voter fraud and voter suppression that worked against her. So we'll have to see what happens. Whether Joe Biden would take the risk of doing that, I don't know.
Ron, I was kind of moved the other day, or confused, I guess would be a better word, when Cory Booker came out and said he's not a progressive socialist. Is that kind of the first shot across the bow of folks trying to separate themselves from those on the far, far left? And it almost seems to me that there are a number of candidates that are that there might be some like Democratic far left candidate fatigue going on, and they're trying to distinguish themselves in any way, shape, or form.
Well, there may be far left Democratic fatigue among people who are not far left Democrats, but I think Democrats who are liberal left wing activists want a candidate for president to support their issues. We showed a poll this morning where a majority of Democrats nationwide want a candidate who supports slavery reparations, want a candidate who supports the Green New Deal, wants a candidate who are for Medicare for all. So there's clearly a big base there for candidates from the left. But I think what Booker is doing is he's trying to go for electability. And ultimately, I think a lot of Democratic politicians realize a presidential candidate who's perceived as being too far to the left won't be able to beat Trump or may not be able to beat Trump, in that you need to look like a national candidate who can get the political center. And I think that's what Booker is doing. I think that's what Klobuchar is doing. And if Biden gets in the race, we'll see if he does that, too. He's certainly best positioned to do that.
So we'll wait and see whether or not Biden is going to make that call. I agree with you. I don't think he has that much time left. I think they're going to go streaming by him if he continues to vacillate on making this decision one way or the other. And because I think I'm starting to hear, and I think people are feeling, that his heart's not in it because he hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember back in 2008. Fred Thompson was considered a possible, very strong candidate for president. And he went on and on for months and months without making a decision. And then it sort of fizzled out by the time he got in the race. He couldn't build the campaign up again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Timing is everything, and strategy just is all important, too. Ron Fauchet, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate your insight.
Thank you.
All righty. That's Ron Fauchet, political analyst and president of the Claris Research Group. Are you waiting on Joe Biden? We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we were just talking to Ron Fauchet, political analyst and president of the Claris Research Group. To the Democrats in the audience, are you waiting on Joe Biden to announce for president? In a recent poll, 67% of Democrats polled said that they're waiting for Joe Biden to make the announcement, that they want him to be the candidate for president. In fact, in this same poll, Joe Biden over Donald Trump +7, Bernie Sanders over Donald Trump +3, and Donald Trump beats Elizabeth Warren by 2, and Donald Trump over Kamala Harris by 2 as well. And is Joe Biden going to be the answer for the Democrats? And why is Joe Biden waiting? And to the Republicans, do you believe, if you don't like Donald Trump, that there should be another choice? Should there be another candidate that runs against the president in the Republican primary? Former Massachusetts Governor William Weld is challenging Trump in the Republican primary, and obviously former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz is considering an independent run, which has a lot of angst and anxiety amongst Democrats as to whether or not there's going to be an independent, because they fear that the same thing that happened the last time with Hillary Clinton, with Bernie Sanders running as an independent, is going to happen this time if Howard Schultz runs as an independent. Howard Schultz is one of those that could finance his own campaign, quite frankly, and doesn't really need to rely on money. And on the Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, we kept up the poll from the first hour. Are you relieved that no U.S. citizen was found guilty of collusion despite Russia's attempts to do so? 93% of the respondents say yes. So to the Democrats and Republicans, what are you thinking? Who's your favorite choice at the present time out there? And I think it's quite interesting that there's some movement amongst the Democratic candidates as to whether or not they're going to be on the far left and considered more of these progressive socialist folks. Some are trying to move back to the middle a little bit to try and distinguish themselves from being out there? Or are you waiting to see what's going to ultimately happen and how this is going to ultimately shake out? And it has this created any angst and anxiety for you in the Democratic Party and how this is going to go about? You know, part of the thing that I was talking about earlier as it relates to the Attorney General's summary of the report as well, it's amazing to me the marked difference from the party perspective as to the reaction. And obviously, there's little or no trust in Washington any longer, and that's really a shame. And we see this over and over and over again. We're seeing it on the campaign trail out there as well. Almost without exception, not a singular Democratic candidate has said and embraced anything as it relates to this report. Leading up to the report being issued or being turned over to the Attorney General, everyone was waiting with bated breath for the report that this was going to be the smoking gun. It was going to provide the evidence necessary so that this country could move on and we could heal, and it would show what was going to ultimately happen. I don't know who gave Nancy Pelosi a heads up 30 or 40 days ago when she started saying, we may want to take a deep breath about this impeachment word, because this may not be panning out the way you think it's going to pan out. And there are those that are now saying this has actually given Nancy Pelosi some breathing room. She has been completely bashed by the far left in her party, almost unmercifully, for even suggesting that they should take a breath, that they should wait a little longer before they get out on top of their skis, so to speak, on this particular issue. And now, in my view, she's been vindicated, because they would have been all wet on this particular issue, and she took a much more conservative view and said, we may want to wait and let's see what this report reveals before we go jumping out on this issue. Let's go to Stephen in New Orleans on line one. What say you, Stephen?
Hey, yes, sir. I was at a family funeral in Delaware, and Uncle Joe sat right behind me. I called him Uncle Joe for about 50 years. And I was the congressional aide, and I rode on the train with him for 2 years. So we've spent a lot of time together. And he told me he was going to run.
What do you think has been the reason behind his delay in announcing?
I don't quite know. Maybe he's trying to make sure he can gather enough money, because he was soliciting funds at this funeral.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good indication that he's moving in that direction then, right?
Yeah, I saw envelopes going in his pocket. Let's put it that way. I mean, there were 3,000 people at this funeral, and he was in the third row. I was in the second row because I was it was my 92-year-old uncle that died. So. And my sister sat right next to him.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family, Stephen.
Yeah, okay.
There's no shame in politics, though, is there?
No, and my family is basically Republican, and he's a Democrat. But because we have a very large corporation, and we have government contracts, you know, you take care of your sitting senator or your sitting vice president.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah.
You know, Stephen, you're really refreshing because you just put it out there. You're just honest about it, right?
Yeah, I've been very honest for many years. I mean, My state is, my family is the number one employer in the state of Delaware.
Oh, there you go.
No, Delaware is not very large, so, you know.
No, but a beautiful state nonetheless.
Yeah, and we realize what our commitment is to the state and what the state's commitment is to us.
Well, great. Well, Stephen, thanks so much for the call. Truly appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. Well, in a Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, 93% of the respondents say they are relieved that no U.S. citizen was found guilty of collusion despite Russia's attempts to do so. And I'm excited about that. I think that's how the reaction should have been across this country. It would be nice if there were 93% of the citizens in this country actually were relieved by that as well. The president or the White House issued a statement this morning saying that they continue to support the notion of releasing the entire report. The president says, I know what I did and I know what I didn't do, so I don't fear the report at all. I've said that all along. There's no collusion. How many times do I have to say it? And there's no obstruction. There's no reason to obstruct if I didn't collude. And I've known that all along. Representative Katie Hill said that until we get the full report released and until we get all of the information that surrounds it, I don't think that we should be jumping to any conclusions. I'm not sure I understand what that means. Robert Mueller reached the conclusion that there was no collusion. They're still not willing to embrace the findings of the special counsel. What does it take to put this issue to rest? I ask you that question. He's reached the conclusion that there was no collusion. He said that specifically. He left the door open as it relates to the obstruction of justice, and we're going to be talking to Harry Rosenberg, former U.S. attorney, about that in the next hour, which I think that he failed his mandate in as it relates to that. And I have my own reasons for that, and we'll talk about that in the next hour as well. I think that was part of his mandate, and he should have resolved it one way or the other. He should have reached a conclusion on that. That's what he was asked to do, and he failed to do it. But I don't understand what they're saying about conclusions. He reached a conclusion. You may not like the conclusion, but he reached it. So we'll talk more about that, and we got to get to a break, and we'll be right back. We'll come back to the talk lines when we return. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we'll go to the talk lines. Don on the North Shore, what say you, Don?
I think I'm taking my call, Chef. I got two things. One, I think it's time now we investigate what made the bureaucracy think that they can open up an investigation into their boss without at least consulting with the Gang of Eight. This is the bureaucracy running the show, not the elected officials. That's my first point. But my second point, Sheriff, is that, and I think this is a bigger point for the media and Mueller. The media seems to like the term exonerated. Well, I don't know of anyone in the criminal justice system that has ever been exonerated of anything. They've been proven not guilty, but that's not exonerated. That's not what our system does. And the fact that Mueller used that term is very troubling. Because any prosecutor knows that you bring a case when you have probable cause, which is more likely than not, not even a big burden, more likely than not, as you know, Sheriff, that a crime has been committed and that's the person that did it. This tells me that there's not enough evidence to get even probable cause to get to that point. So why use the term exonerated?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a total misrepresentation, and it just provided fodder for everybody to make a bigger issue out of this obstruction of justice. And I think it cleared the path for Jerry Nadler and his committee to go make a bigger stink. And he's already taken up, picked that ball up and thinks he's going to run for a touchdown with it.
And that brings me to another question I just thought about when you mentioned Nadler, Sheriff. So I don't know if it was Nadler, but there's been a couple of congressional Democratic chairpersons now, previously when they were the leader in the committees, that they said that there was evidence of collusion. Now, if they want to say Trump obstructed justice because he lied to the press, which we know he didn't, or he did on some things, but either way, if lying to the press is obstruction, isn't that exactly what the Democrats did when they said that there was evidence of collusion?
Well, how about this, Don? No evidence. Isn't that exactly what the Russians were trying to do, to erode the confidence in our democracy? When you have leaders of Congress that are sitting as chair of intelligence committees coming out and saying that they have seen evidence of collusion, credible evidence of saying, isn't that misleading the public? And shouldn't there be sanctions for them as well? Those are my thoughts. Don, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. We'll be right back after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.